Proverbs. The last couple weeks, the last couple times that I've preached, we've been in Proverbs talking about the ways of wisdom. I'm glad, this is one of the mornings that I'm really glad that a lot of the kids don't leave service, because this is one, boy, if I would have been, 15, 16, 17, listening to my pastor when he was teaching me these things, life would have been a lot better, a lot easier. I would have said things I should have said when I should have said them. I would have not said a bunch of things that would have kept me out of trouble and hard conversations. And that is the glory of Proverbs. It is something you and I can apply to our daily life. If we take what this wisdom literature says today, if we take it today and just apply it to the rest of this day and tomorrow, I promise you, your life will get better. This is not theologically deep. This is every day, every interaction, verbally and, right? So I know Solomon wasn't sitting around texting a whole lot, but you and I have to remember, we communicate that way too. And the rules apply, all right? The rules apply. Proverbs has been fun. I hope you're reading some throughout your week as well. A lot of the Bible reading plans will have, sometimes they'll have Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs all kind of in that reading plan. So if you're doing one of those, you may be getting a little bit of it every day. Why would the Psalms be there daily? What would the reminder be if you and I were reading Psalms constantly? Praise, right? That's the idea, song. Why would Proverbs be there? Guidance, wisdom, daily life. Like, we're going to hit some things as we go, a couple of other things. Like, we're going to hit some things in Proverbs that a lot of people don't talk about much. Okay? So if you want your life to get immediately better, you read and apply what it is that the Lord has for you, given to us from the second wisest man to ever live. He is not the first, because who would be first? Jesus. Jesus would be the wisest man, the wisest God-man, man-God to ever live. Solomon would be second. What God hates. What God hates. Proverbs chapter 6 says this: there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, proud eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, and a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. There are seven things that the Lord hates. One is considered an abomination to him. Three of them interact with how you and I speak, what we say, even how we say it, why we say it. A lying tongue. A false witness who breathes out lies. What happens, the concept in the Old Testament, I want you to be able to apply something to daily life right now. The concept in the Old Testament of a false witness who breathes out lies, what is that context in the Old Testament? What is going on in that context? They are speaking about justice. When you're lying in the context of a false witness, you're lying in the realm of justice. You're perverting justice. Okay? So a lying tongue and one who breathes out a false witness or lies, again, are mentioned twice. One would be the person you know that's just a liar. Right? I would ask you to raise your hand if you know somebody that you don't believe anything they say. Because what? They are a liar. Whether they want to or not, or whether they believe it or not, like, we're not in that. Like, they're just a liar. The second round is someone that corrupts the judicial system. Right? They're breathing out lies against a brother or sister. Now, number seven, there are a lot of things in the world that I'm sure grieve the Lord's heart. All sin, all destruction, everything that you and I turn on the news, and 90% of it, all of that stuff, the stuff going on in your life and my life, that dishonors him with the way we think and what we're doing with our time and how we treat, like, all this stuff comes in. But he pulls out one to be very, very specific. He or she who sows discord among brothers. when you corrupt or pervert the safety within the realm of God's kingdom, he hates that. It's an abomination to him. And it is totally based off of how you and I speak to one another. Proverbs 8:13 says it this way, "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." So what God hates, you and I should also what? Hate. What God hates, you and I should also hate. Perverted speech, lying tongues, those that corrupt the ideas of justice, those that spread discord in your home, in your church, in your community, where you work. You and I should hate those things. Especially that last one. Because what happens when you break down the safety of your home, our church, the place you work? Because that's what this does. It removes safety. It removes trust. And so what happens to that place you're left with? Is that a good place to work? Is it a good place to serve? Is it a good place to live? So I want you to remember as we read through these Proverbs this morning, what God hates, you and I should also hate. What he pushes against, you and I should also push against. And part of what happens is there will be frustration come back on us, but the life that we're actually living gets sweeter, stronger, and purer. Why? Because the relationships I do have get better. They do not get worse. Why? Because I'm caring for people. I'm taking care of them. When they give me a secret or something held in trust, I hold on to that. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt when I don't know the whole story. Those are sweet places to be, as opposed to trying to make them look bad, trying to make them feel bad, trying to harm them, especially when they're not around. What we produce, we eat. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21, I would beg you all to memorize this passage. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. The first part of that verse, let me say this real quick. Learn how to speak. Learn how to interact. You ever been around a salesman, a good one? They are phenomenal to watch. Like when it's going in the right direction, like when their character is good and they just got the gift of gab, it's fun to watch. Justin's not in here, is he? I don't want to get his head too big. He's in the back, so he can't hear me, right? He can't hear me. He'll have to watch it later. It's fun to watch. When those interactions are withheld within the Holy Spirit, when he's the one working, that gift of gab is phenomenal. You know, there was a certain point in time where like 90% of the millionaires were all in sales. Because, man, if you can talk, if you learn the skill, if you learn how to interact with someone to make them feel better about themselves, to hear what's actually going on, to love and to push in the right direction, if you learn those skills, it'll be amazing. And the Bible says it'll make sure your belly is full. You will have provision based off of how you treat other people. Now, the second part of that is what I really want you to understand, because here is the power of your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, love what? Somebody say, love to talk. Those that love to talk will do what? Eat its fruit. If you learn this skill, your life will be so much better. It will provide for you at times. You know the difference between you and somebody else on a resume? Young ones, listen. You know the difference between you and somebody else on a resume? That interview. And what's that interview all about? Shaking hands and talking. You're not going to be able to text the person sitting there trying to give you a job. You're going to have to talk to them. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That is one of the most astounding warnings and blessings in all of Scripture. And what's going on there is simply this. How do you speak to people? You're going to eat that fruit. Are you an encourager? Are you somebody that loves well? Are you somebody that, above and beyond, makes an effort to speak these things? Do you understand how important that is? We're not talking about money. It costs nothing. Doesn't even cost that much time. to be an encouragement to other people, to share with them what they mean to you and how they've helped you, or to share with them your skill, how you can help take care of them, how you can grow them, how you can work with them. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love to speak will eat its fruit. That is an amazing blessing and a terrifying warning. And we're talking about this, and I know you and I are sitting here and we're playing out these moments in our mind when I should have done or should not have done something and did it, said it, made a mess. We know other people that have made messes. And you think, yeah, that thing makes perfect sense. When somebody's an encouragement, when they're loving, when they care for me right, when they care for my family, when they care for my children, all is right in the world. It is a sweet fruit to partake in. But man, when they speak nasty, and you know, I know they're in here with us, but I'm just going to say it out loud, man. The teenagers, listening to them speak to each other makes me bonkers. It's like, whoa, out of bounds. Nasty, mean, cutting. Those things will curse the rest of your life. Learn to be an encouragement. It'll fill your belly. It'll protect your heart and your mind. Good people will gravitate to you. Broken people that need what you have to offer, you know what they'll also do? Gravitate to you. Even when they don't believe in what you claim to believe in. Even when they don't want all this religious stuff that you have on the table, they will gravitate to you. Why? Because you speak life. Jesus spoke life. And they loved being around him. The broken, the needy, those that thought they had it together, those that didn't, they come and they listened and they hung on to the words that he says. Why? Because he spoke life. You have that same opportunity and so do I. It is free and it takes very little time. And the world is starving for it. Friends in school, middle school, high school, those kids are starving for the life that you can give them. At work, some of you know people, you work with them, and you know they are starving for life. They need what you have to offer, what you have been commissioned to give. They need it. They don't get it at home. They got a hard life. Work is hard. And you're there to be a blessing. How about Proverbs 15:4? A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. We need to be careful in how we speak. We need to be careful that the pieces of our heart that are hurting, are broken, are mean, do not come out through our words. You know the two things you can't get back? The thrown rock and the what? Spoken word. You can't get them back. I mean, unless your arm is really weak, right? And you can chase it down. You can't get back the thrown rock or the spoken word. Be mindful of where your heart is when it is time to speak. Be mindful of what's going on within yourself before you call up. Remember hungry, angry, lonely, tired, exalted, or excited and disrespected? Remember that acronym? Be careful what happens next. Are you hungry, angry, lonely, tired? Are you excited? Is something going on that's got you kind of hovering? And have you been disrespected? Be very careful what you say next. Because giving life is going to be really hard when that soil is that hard and that nasty. Take a second, calm down, get your wits, and then speak, because anything that's said next cannot be getting back. You can say what? I'm sorry. Better not to what? Say it in the first place. I didn't mean it. How many times you got that one, right? I didn't mean it. Well, you thought it and you said it. Yowza, that's two layers. And if you text it, you thought it, you said it, you texted it, you sent it. Four pieces of confirmation. I didn't mean it. It's a lot to go through. Be careful. Be wise. Proverbs 16:23-24. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. What you can give and what can be given to you are like a honeycomb. Or Proverbs would say later, they're like a dagger, thrusting blows, harmful, hurting. Listen, Christian, if you and I are doing it right, even the moments that are hard where there has to be correction, where there's disagreement or there's sin and you and I are working through that, you know what happens? It's like salve. It's like medicine. Even the hard things you and I have to go through are like medicine when they're handled properly. That honeycomb, that goodness, that sweetness blesses the rest of their life. You and I are protected in every form of speech if we yield to the Holy Spirit, even the things that are hard that have to be covered. Why? Because when two Christians are speaking together and they're doing it out of the authority of the Word of God, and something's right and something's wrong, when there is a response and repentance and moving forward, it becomes medicine. Not hatred. Not something to bludgeon them with later. Not even the concept of bringing it back up. We move through it and we let it go. And so even the hardest moments in the Christian life that have to be doled out are times that become like medicine. Sweet to soul, sweet to spirit. How about this one? The value of the pause. Proverbs 12:18 says this: "There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Man, you know how that is when you just want to get back at somebody? It's like a sword thrust. And you know, this is one of the dangers of marriage, of being a parent, of close-knit relationships, is you and I know all the what. Somebody say buttons to push. You and I know all the buttons to push. You know, in my life, in my family, in our church, in our community, you and I would look around and we would see the things that are said. And we would say, "You would never say that to a stranger. I would never say that to a stranger." But in that moment, man, those sword thrusts comes out, and what happens? That sin is in control. That flesh is in control. And I am going to harm. And I have been given the knowledge to do it in a way that's really rough. Like sword thrusts. Right? What's the idea of being rash? What are rash words? It's the response. This happens and boom, right? It's the response. It's not thought out. There's no wisdom there. There's no correction, no care, no net, no pause. It's fast. It's rash. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth, what? Read it out loud. Preserves his life. I'm telling you, this is totally practical when it starts this service and right after this service. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Things go better for those that watch what they say. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. What's the difference between the wise and the wicked in that verse? One is what? Thinking. The Bible says to take every thought captive. It's going to hit here. Grab a hold of it. Sift it. Make sure it's right. Make sure it's true. Make sure it's the right time. And if those things line up, say it. But if it's wrong, if it's false, but you don't know, man. I just want to get them. I don't care if it's right or not. I know that's the problem. That's the flesh. I want to be mean. I want to harm. I have been harmed, and I want to lash back. And the first thing you and I have to do that with is our mouth. The heart of the righteous ponders the answer. Take the time, the pause, to stop and to think. Am I okay to say this? Or am I too wounded and I need to step away? Is this the right thing to say? Okay, is it the right time? You know, the Christian message is all about the right thing to say. We have the true gospel, but there's a time and a way to say it, and you have to get all three correct. You say the right thing in the right time with the wrong demeanor, and you lose the crowd, right? You say it at the wrong time, you're wasting your breath. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Just open up and bad things come out. Flowing. You know anybody like that? You're like, yeah, I used to. I don't spend much time with them anymore. Good thinking. Right? Run from that. Their curses, their hatred, their bad attitude. Guess what happens? When you listen to it enough, it what? Rubs off. Oh, well, y'all knew that one. That was a good one. It rubs off. Yeah, it does. You find yourself thinking that way. It's a curse. It's one they're passing to you. But the heart of the righteous pays attention. It's pondering what it's getting ready to say. You and I are taking the time to realize not just what's right in front of us, but the next step after that. The righteous are wise. The righteous take the opportunity to sort things out first and then speak them. Proverbs 17 says this, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." Right? Better to, what's the saying? Better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Right? Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. Whoever restrains his texts has knowledge. Whoever restrains their Twitter handle or their Facebook time has knowledge. They have understanding. They apologize a lot less. They do a lot less harm. When you and I don't pause, we lose a wonderful buffer. It's a guardrail between living normal life at peace and shoving yourself into chaos. And all it takes is for you and I to stop long enough to say, shouldn't say that. That is not exhorting in the right direction. That is not loving. That is not kind. That is not helpful. Right? In some of our more carnal days, it could even be, that's not even true, but I'm going to say it anyway. Right? That pause is the stop that keeps us from making a mess. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Hey, stop letting people get under your skin. Let me tell you one of the most powerful things you can do. And I've said this in counseling before, and I don't know if I've ever said it publicly, but counseling before, when you're dealing with people and they're going through a hard moment, listen, you know one of the most powerful things you can do to be prepared for what's next? Stop being surprised. Stop being surprised. Somebody treated me poorly. Oh, yeah? Well, did they do it yesterday? Yeah. Did they do it the day before? Yeah. How about last week? Yes. How about last month? Well, why are you surprised today to the point where you're all revved up about it? You don't have to respond the same way they come at you. And Christian, you should not. Stop being surprised when nasty, mean people treat you nasty and mean. I can't believe they did that. Well, they did it yesterday. What's wrong with you? I'm worried about you, not them. They're doing what they do. Stop being surprised, okay? You can take that rule and you can apply it in other places too. Listen, you're in a really weird physical moment. Something's going on at work. A lot of people are in the medical field. A lot of people are in emergency services. You're in a really weird physical moment. You better be prepared for the worst case scenario next. You're at school messing around and some kids are doing some stupid stuff they shouldn't be doing. You better be preparing your mind and your heart for the worst case scenario next. Because if you get surprised, you're two steps behind. You're two steps behind spiritually. You're two steps behind physically. You're trying now to catch up. Stop being surprised. People are going to treat you poorly. They're going to say mean things to you. And if that is their history with you, stop getting mad about it. Expect it. It'll make it easier to deal with, I promise. Maybe it's somebody you're not choosing to be around. It's somebody at work. Stop being surprised. Expect it. And when you have a day that they don't, you can enjoy the victory. Like, huh, wasn't nearly as bad as yesterday. Wasn't nearly as bad as what I was expecting. I don't want you to be a pessimist, but I want you to see the world as it is. When you go into school and there are nasty kids there, holy cow. I mean, those sword thrusts are everywhere. Everybody hurting, everybody wanting to get at you, everybody wanting you to be as miserable as they are. Stop being surprised. It's why you need to be making friends with people that don't act like this, so that you have safety constantly, so that your home and your church are safe. Why? Because you can't control the world. They're going to act like the world. And they are sons and daughters of the devil, and his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. So what do you think they're going to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. They're going to do it with their words. They're going to try to harm you. They're going to try to hurt you. Stop being surprised. Pause. Wait. Don't ruin your testimony because somebody is nasty to you and you want to be nasty back. How about this one? The value of the moment. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Think about the people you love. Okay? It's a pretty easy one. I hope my words make them feel bad. I hope my words make them feel anxious. I hope my words make them feel out of control. I hope my words make them feel glad. Now, how powerful would that be if you and I could get it from outside of our house into our office, into the place we work, into the friends we have that don't live with us? I hope my words make their life better. Anxiety in a man's heart. Boy, there sure is a lot of anxiety right now, isn't there? Can you imagine how much good you and I could do for free? Wouldn't take a dollar. Just to walk into places, speak, to be kind, to be edifying, to be encouraging to those, to exhort those that are maybe not moving in the right direction, or maybe they can move a little quicker in that direction, and you and I step in like a good, loving coach and just kind of give that shove. That's exhortation. I love that idea. Edification is what? When we lift them up instead of what? Tearing them down. Friends, this is your birthright. This is your expectation. This is the way the kingdom operates. There's a lot of anxious people around. A lot of anxiety. A lot of brokenness. And your word can help that. Your words, your sentences, your time, your text message can bring about peace. Proverbs 15:23, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good is it? Now, there's another passage of Scripture that says, it's probably in Proverbs and I just missed it, but it makes the comment like, don't even edify your neighbor at midnight. He's sleeping. Right? Like, you want to stand up and sing his praises, do it while he's awake and can hear it. Don't wake him up out of a sleep and have him irritated with you. Be wise in how you operate this. But what happens is, to make a good answer is a joy to a man, a word in season. Now, a word in season could be correction. It could be congratulation. It could be edification. It could be any of that. The whole gamut of living a real life can be a word in season. Sometimes they're hard words, and sometimes they're loving, kind, edifying, lifting up, pat them on the back, keep going, you're doing great. But every word, every godly word in season is a good thing for those around us. And you and I are navigating daily how to do that, because it takes tremendous wisdom figuring out not only when the Lord is telling you and I to say something, but also when you and I are just navigating life. When to say this, when to say that. What season is it for this person? Right? We've talked about that a lot, especially when we went through Job. Some of the things you and I can say can be very true, but if they're given in the wrong season, I mean, somebody deeply grieving and you roll in with, the Lord will never give you any more than you can handle, so I hope you're doing okay. Right? Like, no, I am not. This is the wrong moment. It's not even true, but it's still the wrong moment. got to be given in season, and that comes with the maturing and the grace and the discipleship of becoming more like Jesus. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is a fool. He's a fool, or it's his shame. It is his folly and his shame. Proverbs 18:13, the value of the moment. Sometimes the value of the moment is getting all the information. Slow down. Get the information. One of my biggest parental fails in the last year was not getting the information before I blew a gasket. And it was on. And it was to my shame as we finished that conversation when I had gotten the rest of the information and figured out what was going on. And it makes you feel less than that big. Listen, get the information, then make the judgment. Read, search out, find out what's going on. Talk to the other, somebody say person. Talk to the other person. Talk to the other party. But I know this person and they gave me their side of the story. It's got to be correct. Nope. Does not have to be correct. Or it could, at a bare minimum, be what? Slanted. Get the rest of the story. Then speak. The value of the moment sometimes is the waiting and the researching. Proverbs 25:11-12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. When you and I are doing this right, when we are corrected by someone that we know, that we love, and that we trust, we know they love the Lord, we know they love us, and they come in with correction. If you and I handle that properly, it's like what? Is it a curse or a blessing? Y'all said that like it's been a while since somebody actually did that, because guess what? It's a lot harder to say than that. But it is a blessing. This is hard and it hurts. And yes, it's a blessing and it's going to bear fruit. And I'm going to be more like Jesus. And He has given me these people to correct, to love, to help. And this is one of those hard moments. And they're delivering that message and it's a blessing. But it's a hard one. But the Christian life is so good that it turns into, it's like this beautiful ornament in life when I am listening to what is being said to me. There's value in these moments you and I are living together. The Proverbs speaks to them and speaks to how you and I are supposed to be living. You and I are going to know the wicked. I told you part of Proverbs, part of the blessing of Proverbs was you and I being able to dodge the right people. Say, I need to dodge some people. Proverbs will give you some signage, like gravitate this way, get away from this one. But I'm supposed to minister to them. Yeah, unless they are dragging you down and making you like them. Unless you're not prepared to step into that mission field. Unless you're doing it at foolish times and they're chewing you up and spitting you out on repeat. Unless you're not prepared and walking into a trap. Proverbs is going to tell us what the wicked sound like. I already read to you Proverbs chapter 6. He or she who sows discord among brothers, a lying tongue, someone that bears false witness. Those are people that God would tell you and I, you need to leave them alone. Don't care if they're your best friend. Don't care if you've known them since grade school. Don't care if they're a relative. Leave them alone. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Boy, that's hard to read out loud as I'm standing here talking. When you say a lot of words, you got to do a lot of what? Apologizing. It's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. Wrong moment, harsh thing, hard heart, whatever it is, it's just going to happen. When you and I talk a lot, you better factor in the idea that you're going to be saying, I'm sorry a lot. Proverbs 11:9, with his mouth the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. You know, the godless man is trying to destroy your life, your credibility, your testimony, everything. They're just working at it. It just is what it is. You love the Lord. You want to honor Him. There are wicked people doing wicked things, trying to harm you and your testimony. And guess what the Lord does? Protects us anyway. What you and I need to understand, if I am watching somebody else do this to other people, they're going to do it to who next? Stop acting like your friends are different people when they're around you and when they're not with you. If they are hammering people when they're around you, guess what they're doing to you when you're not there? The same thing. They're chewing you up. They're spitting you out. They're lying about you. They're telling truths they shouldn't tell. They're doing things that are harming you. You and I need to understand that is a sign of wickedness. And we need to get away from it. And if they're a Christian, you and I need to call them to repent. You're violating the word and the will of God by being nasty against your brothers and sisters that aren't here. And you know what? It's actually an abomination to God, Proverbs chapter 6 would say. Proverbs 12:6, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. And again, what is going on with the words of the wicked? They are setting traps. Wicked people cannot be still. They just want to harm and to hurt because they look like who? Somebody say their father. That's what Jesus said. The flip side of that, who are you and I supposed to look like? Our father. You share resemblances of the one who made you, who had you. So the wicked lies in wait for blood just like the devil. They set plans and traps to harm. They use their words, and other places they would use their action. It just is what it is. These are signs of wickedness. We're going to harm this person. We're going to set them up. I'm going to do this thing. When you hear people plotting and making plans, you better call them to repent, and you better run the other direction. Because we read earlier that you're going to share the what? The blessing or the curse. You're going to get in there, and you're going to harm somebody, and you're going to make this plan, and you're going to look like the devil. You're going to share the curse. You're going to eat the fruit. And it's wicked, and it's nasty, and it harms you. Speak your heart. What kind of heart do you have? Proverbs will say the things you and I say tell us a lot about what? My heart. That's why it's so dangerous to speak when you're hurting, angry, lonely, or tired, hungry, all those things. That's why it's dangerous. Why? Because my heart is in the wrong spot. It's churning. It's not ready. Tired? How about that one, man? You ever been tired and then start speaking things you shouldn't speak? That one will get you. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you've not had kids yet. Have a kid that don't sleep at night. And then tell me what it's like to be tired. Speak your heart. Proverbs 10, 31 and 32 says this, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. If my heart is righteous, it's going to bring forth what? Wisdom. But the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. A righteous heart will bring forth wisdom. It'll know what is acceptable to God and to those around us, how to help, how to love, how to care for. It will know what is acceptable in the moment. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. And he walked in, and the first thought in my mind was, what'd I tell you? What'd I tell you? He wasn't going to stick around. He was not going to end where he started. I told you. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. Let me read it again. A soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath. You know what it takes to have a soft answer in those moments? The pause. Because that initial reaction is not going to be soft. It's going to be harsh. Especially if your flesh is involved at all. I want to respond. I want to retaliate. I want to hurt. A soft answer, a soft heart turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up what? You want to make a problem worse? Correct it with a harsh word. Correct it like a jerk. How about that one? Does that make more sense? But I'm right. You are right. You're also a jerk. So now we got two problems to deal with. A soft answer, a soft heart will turn away wrath, but a harsh word will stir it up and make it worse. You know, so often when you and I are working into corrective moments, what happens is a lot of times we'll make the soil harder with how we go about it. So instead of getting a response that would have been soft or easy, we do it in public, or we do it in front of other people, or we do it with a tone. Anybody have a tone? You speak with a tone, right? Text with a tone. That's bad. You and I read a text the way we kind of would have written it, right? So that is a great way to miscommunicate. If I would have said that, I would have been angry. So I immediately assume the person that sent it to me is angry, right? What's all the caps for? Are they yelling at me? No, it was just stuck on. They didn't know how to get it off, right? A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly, pour out foolishness. Do we commend knowledge with our wise heart? Do we turn away wrath with our soft heart? And finally, Proverbs 25:15 says, with patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. Friends, as we get ready to wrap up, as they come to play this morning, in the realm of ministry, some of us Christians are the worst with tone and demeanor. You get on some of these sites, and like I've got to get back out of reading the comments, but I'm going to tell you what, man, some of these people that are Christians are some of the harshest individuals you would ever be around. They just come across like they always want to fight. They're always nasty or rigid or hard. There is no give. There is nothing. And I am begging you right now to pay attention to that last verse, because sometimes we don't need to break a bone. We need to heal a heart. And if a soft tongue and a soft answer can break a bone, you know what I think it can do? I think it can break a hard heart. There are moments that have to be aggressive, and some of you men need to understand that. You need to be growing in your relationship with the Lord, where you know the line in the sand needs to be, and the next thing that comes across needs to be aggressive and forceful. You need to know that. I need to know that. There are evil things going on. Some of you women need to understand it at times. But that is the exception, not the rule. So many moments need to be handled soft, slow, with a pause, with grace. That's a nice biblical word, isn't it? With grace. It needs to be dealt with like the Lord deals with you and I, especially when we're dealing with brothers and sisters and people in our family. It need not be a sword thrust. It need not be a harsh answer. And it better not be in public if we do that. Because you create barriers to what you're actually trying to achieve, which is peace and repentance and love and good community and safety. That we're not trying to be right. We're not trying to harm. We're trying to see heaven come to earth. And there are moments that are going to be rough. But friends, that's the exception. It's the exception. The rule is we need to respond like Jesus. And when you read the Gospels, how many times do you see Him respond harsh? There's a couple, right? There's a couple. Most loving man to ever live. The most manly man to ever live. The most meek man to ever live. There were moments that were absolutely intense. But for the most time, what do you see? Wisdom, reservation, meeting someone where they're at, going through the process. If a soft tongue can break a bone, I pray that a soft tongue can break some of those hard hearts that you're praying for. Some of those people you're praying for with that hard heart, a soft tongue could break that. Would you stand with me today? If you need something, you come. If you need prayer, you come.